Okay. In the name of Lord Jesus, we continue to study this topic. Guidelines and benefits of reading the Bible. So yesterday, the class stopped at the fact of the Bible. We just have some information for you as a reference. So the original text was written in three languages, in Old Testament especially, for the small portion. Ezra chapter 4, verse 8 to 6, to chapter 6, 18. Chapter 7, 12 to 26, or in Aramaic. And then Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 11. That's a special. This is the only verse in the book of Jeremiah, the long book, a prophetic book. Only this verse, actually, the original text is in Aramaic. But in our English, we cannot see the difference. But if you take a note for yourself, chapter 10, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 11. You can see how it's special to mention about God. Can someone read? Alex. The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they perish from the earth. It related to the idols. So in Chinese, there's a guafu, special a quote. This actually is not the original Hebrews, but it's in Aramaic. Okay, Daniel chapter 2, verse 4 to chapter 7, 28. This whole section. It's also in Aramaic, because at the time they are under the government of the Persia and Babylonians. Okay, so New Testament in Greek. Okay, so this is information. So originally the Holy Scripture were written on scrolls of papyrus. Papyrus, you know what is that? And also later on is parchment, skin. And until the invention of the codex, a book, just like a book. So this is a long evolution of the printing. So you can you imagine how much work had to be done if you want to translate from one parchment to another one? Because the material will decay, right? Deteriorate year by year. So how are you going to make sure all the copies, the text, can be exactly transformed to the new one? So this is constantly, you have to repeat it again and again. So it requires a lot of people dedicate their whole life to do this work. So we must be very appreciative for those who dedicate their life to copy and transform faithfully this original text, the scripture, so we can receive and still read it until now. And this is a miracle, actually. If we consider in our human history, how many scriptures or how many books has been destroyed or has been alternated to change it, but the Holy Scripture is not. Okay? So right now, in New Testament, this is called canon. We call it a standard. This is a standard. So the early church fathers, they follow three very simple, very important rule to determine which writing of which scripture could be called the kernel, the standard, or those writings must be true, must be accepted by general believers, and also must. Let's do it. Related to apostles. So this is number one. All the New Testament, especially the New Testament, apostolic authority. So must have been written by the apostles as eyewitness of Lord Jesus Christ, or by associate of the apostles. So in New Testament, who are the authors who relate to apostles, but themselves are not the right appointed apostle? Who are they in the New Testament? Do you know? You know this criteria here. So apostle, we know Matthew, he's an apostle, right? Okay, John. But how about Mark? How about Luke? They are actually associate of the apostle. So Mark, Peter, Apostle Peter, called Mark as his son. So basically, Mark is just like a secretary of Apostle Peter. So Peter said, and Mark recorded. Luke, he associated with Apostle Paul, right? How about James? James. Jude, right? This is Judah. They related to Jesus. So you can see, this is quite clear. The first, they must have something people really associate with Jesus directly, or indirectly. Number two, rule of faith. The document must agree with basic Christian tradition and the recognized teachings. Because before the canon, the scripture has been compiled together, they already have many epistles circulated among churches. So they know the common tradition. What kind of teachings actually are from Jesus or from apostles? Because in the early church history, there are so many heresies. The strong one is Gnostic, right? They try to deny Jesus' human nature, or someone deny Jesus' divine nature. Either way, okay? So this is at that time, this is so many confusion. So this is also a reason why the apostles or the early church fathers, they consider it's very crucial to have some canon standard, so the faith will not be changed. Because year by year, one generation after another, people may have wrong concept if they don't receive the standard from the beginning. So this faith could be just deteriorate, then be gone. Okay? So this is a rule of faith. Whatever the writings are, they must be examined or to screen by the faith. Number three, continuous acceptance and the usage. So this document must have been recognized and used by the early church. So you cannot say, okay, our belief is new, and the early churches, they never heard. So this is unfair, right? Say if we have a new material, we know we have something which the early members doesn't know it, then this is different faith, right? So the faith from the beginning, after Jesus come in to preach the gospel, all the faith, all the belief must be same. So continuing to the end. This is called the truth. Never change. Everyone receive the same. Oh. Believe Jesus is the Savior. This is the way we have to accept for salvation. Yeah. From beginning to the end, this is called truth. So that's why Holy Bible, if we look at it from Old Testament until New Testament, they just can answer to each other. Right? No conflict. The message, even though come up from other author in different time, but they all agree to each other. So this is three criteria make this selection for canon in New Testament. Okay. So this New Testament developed over the first 250 to 300 years of time span. So this is a long process, actually. So many people, they work very hard to screen, to read over and over, to select what is so-called this is a real teaching. So the selection was not made by any particular person or in the early church council, no. So people may criticize, oh, Bible is someone they read and then select a particular book, or this is good, this is not good. No. If we really track back the history, we can see how careful and how precisely the Christian, they wanted to make sure everybody receive the same teaching. Okay? So it's not a person's work. It's not only one generation. It's over 300 years of Christians. They screen again and again, decide, review it. So this 27 books actually has been added one by one to try to find out the complete, from all the documents, find out a complete standard for our faith. So 27 books, we call it books, that became the canon of the New Testament, gradually came into focus and became the most trusted and beneficial of all the early Christian writings. There are so many writings, but at about, I think, end of the 4th century, the decision made, 27. This is a truth we can trust. This is what Jesus wants us to know about this faith. Okay? So, by end of the second century, most of the 27 documents in the Orthodox New Testament canon has already gained widespread acceptance. But people try to add more because they find out more writings, more documents, right? So, are they good? So they try to process it. This one. So here, this is first historical reference of listing these exactly 27 writings. This is our New Testament, 27 books in 367 AD. So we can check the first reference. So from then on, now we have the same canon, the New Testament. Okay? So, and then you continue to see now our Bible, so precious, right? Everybody can read it. In the early time, it's not the case. So the Holy Bible actually was the first book to be printed in 1455 AD after Gutenberg invented printing. printing, this is a very important invention to change the world, change our thought, make our life more convenient. You can go back to the history to know exactly. So, but after this new technology developed, invented, Holy Bible is the first book to print, mass printing, to make sure everybody can receive more. This is a change year. Since then on, then more people can read the Bible. In the early time, Bible only put in, not the Bible actually, this scroll, right? Put in a synagogue. Only those priests or the fathers or the pastor, they can read the scripture. Members, they have no way. They have no access to read, to see by themselves the scripture. Right? So they just heard from church about their interpretation. But to us, it's different now. This is just information for you. This is a German, a German goldsmith and printer. He invent this printing. This is very important technology, actually, at the time, so advanced. Okay, so in 1440, and then the Bible be printed in 1455. 15 years later, they print by the Bible. And now English Bible, we first saw this translation in 1382 from John Wycliffe. This is a very important person. Okay, so this just is some information for you as a reference. So today, Bible is the best selling book of all time. People cannot calculate how many volumes or copy has been printed for Bible. It's just beyond your number. Just cannot track to count how many total copies. But this Bible has been translated into thousands of different languages. You can see how important this Holy Bible is. So if you read Bible from beginning to the end, if you continue to read 70 hours, you probably can finish it. Just like you read it, once, verse by verse, just read it aloud. You can finish it within 70 hours if you are not tired of. Okay? 66 books. 1,189 chapters. Okay? So you remember these chapters. So if you read one chapter a day, it takes you how many years? Huh? Around three. More than 3 years, right? How many years and how many months? About 3 years, 3 months, and about 3 days. Because we, in Cerritos and Gangkok, we read once, we finish one time. From 2012 until 2015, April 3rd, we finish the whole Bible once. So it takes 3 years, 3 months, and 3 days to finish. If the net is, this is 1,189 chapters. So can you imagine if you started reading Bible every day, a chapter, right now, then if you can, if you have, right now you have about teenage, right? So say if you have 70 years to live, if you are strong enough, you care yourself very much, you can live up to 80s. So you have about 70 years to live. If you read the Bible every day, a chapter, how many times you can finish the whole Bible? How many times? 70 years. You divide by 3.3. Huh? Okay. So you can read more than 20 times, right? 20 times. And then at that time, you must be very, very good in the Bible message. You know it because you read it many times already. Okay? So that's why we have to develop this routine, this habit. If you really read Bible every day, then you will become very humble. And your faith will be growing every day. And we will know Jesus even deeper. Okay? Verses. This is too much for you to remember. You don't have to. But the chapters, you probably remember it, okay? So, longest verse. Esther, chapter 8, verse 9. Sometimes it depends on the translation. But you can check by yourself to see how long the verse is. Shortest. Jesus wept. The middle book of the entire Bible. Micah and Nahum. Old Testament and New Testament in the middle. The middle book. The middle chapter. Right? Because 1189. Right? So you can check which chapter is in the middle. Psalm 117. The middle verse. Right? Because they don't have the verse total number, right? And middle verse. People, they use this kind of verse or the chapter to try to find some meanings. But this is just their own opinion. But we just know this is some reference, you know it. Okay? All right. Longest book. Psalm. 150 chapters. So if you read Psalms, one chapter a day, then you take you more than 5 months, about 5 months, right? So if you, in 5 months, you all read the same Psalms, probably you will getting tired of it. So that's why Psalms has been divided in different five sections, right? Book one, book two, book, and two, book five. So you can read it by this division. Book one, book two. So it makes it easier and show you different diversity in your spiritual food. Shortest book. My word itself is the third John. Because it is counted by the Greek word. But in English translations, you probably will see Second John is the shortest. Okay? Longest chapter. Psalm 119. Do you know how this 176 verse come from? 176 verses. Why? Because it composed of Hebrew, there's a 22 letter alphabet. Each alphabet have 8 verses. So 22 times 8, 176. Okay? So you look at Psalm 119. Turn to Psalm 119. So in your Bible, I think it give you some hint already. One section, every section have 8 verses, right? Right? Is it right? Every section has 8 verses. Total 22 sections.
And each section actually starts from the Hebrew, the same alphabet. So each verse in Hebrew, so verse 1 to verse 8, it's all start from the Hebrew alphabet number 1. And section 2, the second letter. So that's how it composed of these 176 verses. Okay. So it becomes the longest chapter. Okay? Okay, so, yeah, so many. Oh, this is, we probably don't have to go through this. That's because we have only 20 minutes left for this class. Let's jump to read Bible. Okay, so the goal is we can really develop a habit to read Bible every day by yourself. I know as a student, sometimes you may have a struggle or you have homework to finish. You may feel you have no time to do other things. But if you can change it, then really read Bible. Take your time to sit down, have a quiet heart, prepare yourself to read Bible. This habit will bring you great benefit to your life. This is a whole lifelong beneficial routine or your habit. So you have to develop right now. Okay. So hopefully, after ISTS, if you don't have this Bible reading habit, go back and then start to read Bible. But in order to receive benefit, to be edified through reading this Holy Scripture, we do need the right mindset and attitude. Otherwise, the more you read the Bible, the more prouder you may become. And then end up, you did not get any good things from the Bible. So knowledge may just pop you up. Then you consider you are so good, but actually it's not. Okay? So attitude is important. First, we have to know the method. We have to have the right mindset. These are two key factors. Method is easy. You can find so many different methods for reading Bible. Okay, so you find your own way. So not necessarily you have to read from Genesis until all the way down to the Revelation. You can use your own way to finish the Bible. Or you want to read one chapter a day, you can design your own way. It doesn't matter at all. But mindset, attitude toward the Bible will determine whether your reading is profitable or not. So we must come with a sense, very, very important. How we read Bible, how we treat Bible, will decide whether you get profit or not. First, believe. We have to believe this is God's word first. So we read it. We read Bible not trying to find, oh, this is a conflict. The Bible is not true. How come God behave in this way? So cool. I cannot believe. No. Have to believe first. Without faith, we cannot get anything from God. Hebrew 11, please read. Hebrew 11, verse 6. Hebrew 11, verse 6. Melody, please read.
Amen.
So without faith, it's impossible. So we come to church to worship. We do need faith. When we are alone at home, or when we are reading Bible by ourselves, faith is the first element you must have to treat this scripture. Because God will reward. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When we read Bible, meaning we want to know God, we want to get closer to God, God will reward us. Chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. So faith, and then we, through reading, we know this is called gospel. It's going to change our life. Chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. Brother Alex Zhao. Hebrew chapter 4, verse 2. Amen. So you can see the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So with faith to mix with what we read is important, no? The same token for attending sermon. You know, to service to the church, we hear the message. We also have to mix it with faith. Then this service, this message will make profit us. John chapter 5. This verse is important. Flip to it and try to remember. John chapter 5, verse 45. This is what Jesus said. John chapter 5, 45 to 47. Sister, Eileen. So Jesus point out the problem of Jews. They believe the writings of Moses, but they don't believe in Jesus. It's not right, right? Because in Moses' writing, there are so many prefiguration of so many things refer to this Christ. So Jesus special ask, you have to believe in what Moses said, then you can believe me in me. Oh. So today, through reading Bible, we can really believe the salvation, believe in Jesus. We will see how important this gospel can change our life. Okay. So believe. Okay. Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. In the Bible, we will read so many promises. Bible gives us hope. Okay. Verse 20. Brother Joshua. Okay. So the promise in Jesus, no matter how many, it will be fulfilled. So can you name some promise of Jesus? Jesus promises many things, right? Do you remember any promise of Jesus to you? Matthew? Salvation. Okay, sister, any? Jesus promised you when you are in trouble, when you are in sorrowness, did Jesus give you promise? Sister? Holy Spirit, yes, okay. Jesus, you promise Holy Spirit. So we can ask Holy Spirit. Father? Okay. So he will take care of our burden. So do you remember the verse? Brother, the verse. If you feel a burden, you come to Jesus and he will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Right? Matthew 11:28. Try to remember. This is what Jesus promised. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus also promised us a very important to make our life easier, lighter. What is that? In Matthew chapter 6. Huh? You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Right? God will take care of it. So many different promises. Do you believe what he said? If we do, and then we will follow. Okay, so this attitude is very important. First, the first attitude. Believe what Bible said. Then we will experience God's grace greatly. And even the same verse, when you are in different stage of your life or you are in different circumstance, you will feel it's so true, no matter what. Jesus gives us this rest. Okay? If we feel thirst and hunger, come to him. He will feed us. He will feed us. Number two. Humility, a humble heart. Humble heart. Okay? So, don't read Bible as a rabbi or criticism. If you try to criticize Bible, this writing, how come this is in this way? We are not going to find any fault or any wrong in the Bible. No. We need to find the good things from the Bible. Because it's God's word. In the Bible, there is no so-called waste or redundancy. It's a addition. It's not necessary. No. We find out even some passages you feel so boring. You know, when you read Bible, especially in Old Testament, have you ever encountered some section or some chapter? Oh, it's so long, so boring, repeat again and again, and you don't know the meaning, right? And do you consider why the author or the Moses just give a summary and that's it? Why not? Why they use so many verses to describe the same thing again and again? Do you remember the chapter? There's a particular chapter repeated again and again. Every verse is the same. Have you ever considered this is not necessary? Why? Bible give us this message. Huh?
Let's then turn to Numbers. Numbers. Numbers chapter 7. It's a long chapter. Long chapter. This is the way it recalls the record how God wanted Moses to dedicate this altar. This is a dedication of the altar. See from verse 12 to verse 89. You can see the same description repeat 12 times. 12 times. Why? Right? You can easily say, okay, it's nowadays we may just say, okay, in verse 12 to verse 17, then it's first day, right? And you continue for 12 days, and each day is this tribe, right? 12 tribe. And then you can see this is all the same. But why, Bible? It was this kind of message. What is the purpose? We have to find out. Okay? But say this why. Even though from our logical thinking, we consider this seems useless. But actually, it's not. We cannot use our thinking to criticize the Bible, say it's not necessary. Oh. We have to accept it. And then it must have some meaningful, very important meaningful teachings, but I don't know yet. Okay? Because when we read Bible, we will find out so many things we cannot get it now. But accept first. This is called humble heart. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are those who are poor, right? Poor in heart. Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. If we are humble, we will be praised. Isaiah chapter 50. Let's turn to this verse. Isaiah 50. Every morning, we do need to be remind ourselves from the verse. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 to 5. Sister Joyce. Oh, Joyce, not here. Oh. How about Isis? Isaiah 50:4-5. He waked my ear to hear as the learned. He waked morning by morning, every morning. So, we must develop this routine every morning before you go to do work, your school. Pray first. Every day, read Bible. God will open our ear to hear. He will give us instruction. If we have humble heart as the learned, then really we will grow every day. Okay? Acts chapter 8, verse 30 to 35. It recalled the eunuch, Ethiopian, right? This Ethiopian. He was so humble. If you consider this incident, and you can see when Philip asked him this question, if you are the eunuch, you are in his position, will you accept what Philip asked? Do you feel you have been offended by this ruler's guy? Right? He don't recognize how great this eunuch was, right? So, verse 30. Let's read verse 30 to 31. 30 to 31. Brother Jesse. Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 8, 30 to 31. See, this is a humble person, even though in high position, but he just admit, if nobody teach me, how can I understand? And then Philip just explained to him about Lord Jesus Christ, the prophecy about Jesus in the book of Isaiah. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful time for this eunuch to learn about this salvation. Okay, so this is the first class. We will continue in the afternoon. Let's pray in silence.